So Mark chapter 12, I'm just going to read a few verses this morning, beginning at verse 18. It says, "Then came unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him, and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed, and the second took her and died, and neither left he any seed, and the third likewise, and the seven had her, and no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be, wife shall she be of them, for the seven had her to wife? And Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God? And when they shall rise from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they arise, have ye not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err." Would you pray with me this morning? Dear Lord, I just want to ask that you would just help us in understanding this question that the Sadducees came to Jesus with, and being able to understand the resurrection and what really is life in God's eyes. And I just ask that you would just give me the right words to speak, the things to say, and give understanding to your people, Lord, the ones that are here under the sound of my voice, and to me also, that we may be able to not be of the Sadducees and err according to the Scriptures, but to know precisely what it is that the Scriptures do say to us concerning the resurrection and of these things that are mentioned here in this passage. And I just ask, Lord, for your help and your guidance in this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, when we get to this passage, it's a little bit distracting to me, because I'm like, guys, if you're coming to me with a woman that's gone through six guys, that there's something wrong with that lady. She's taking some guys out, isn't she? She goes through seven guys. But anyway, here's their question, and she asks, Jesus, what happens in the resurrection? You see, the problem that we have and we have this issue too, just like the Sadducees, is when we come to the Scriptures and the understanding of the kingdom of heaven. Remember the first part of Mark? I haven't mentioned it in a while because I felt like I just kind of killed that horse a bunch of times. But Jesus is, the whole theme of Mark is about the kingdom of God. And that is one of the attributes that we're looking here. What does the kingdom of God look like? In the Sadducees' eyes and in the eyes of many people in this world, when they see the kingdom of God, what they see is the kingdoms of this earth. And they think, well, life in God's kingdom must be like it is here. And it's totally different. It's so different that you really can't wrap your mind around it. But the Scriptures give us some guidance in these things. And Jesus said, guys, you are erring. You're coming to me with a question from the Scripture about the resurrection, but you don't even understand the Scriptures. You don't know the Scriptures. So he kind of made them look dumb at this point, because he's like, you guys, have you even read the Bible? And you know, and that's a question, I've run into that with a lot of doctrines that are out there. I'm like, have you even read the Scriptures? Most of the time what they do, just like the Sadducees do, is they reach for this Scripture over here, this one little verse, these couple little lines that they like, and they pluck it out, and they say, this is what I believe. Well, I hope you don't do that with the verse where it says that Judas went and hanged himself. Don't format your doctrine on that, or you would go out and hang yourself. What do? You take it in the context, and that's what Jesus is trying to do. He's saying, let me give you some context. because you're erring in the Scriptures. Don't do that. Guys, don't err in the Scriptures. Make sure that you understand what it is. Something about the Sadducees, that the beginning of their errancy is that they really didn't believe, they really don't believe in the inerrancy of God's Word. That's their biggest problem. They don't believe what the Bible says. They believe it's got some good points. It contains God's Word, but they don't believe it is God's Word. You need to believe that this is God's Word, or you are going to err in everything that you think about God. You're going to fail. And you're going to be like these Sadducees. And you're going to be sad. You see, just like they're Sadducees, you'll be sad. Because you just won't get it. Every time you open the pages of the Bible, you're like, I don't get it. I don't understand. Because you're going to be thinking with the worldview of this world and not God's worldview. What happens when your worldview doesn't match God's worldview? You change your worldview, or you will find yourself in a very hot place one day. You must conform into the image of His Christ. And His image of His Christ looks like God's Word manifest in the flesh, in Jesus Christ. You got to believe God's Word. That's where they begin off from the wrong point. They were going to miss the mark before they even got to it because they didn't even believe in God's Word. Another thing is that they didn't have the mind of God. They were thinking with their carnal mind, the lust of this world's mind, and not God's mind. You see, their minds were wrapped up in the lust of the flesh, the desires of the heart. Another thing that they didn't believe is that God gets personally involved in the affairs of men. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but Sister Betty, He cares what's going on in your life, your individual life. He's concerned. When your heart's broken, He understands that. He feels it. He knows what caused it. He knows what's going on in all the circumstance. He gets personally involved in your life. Some people, they think, well, He's just the man upstairs. God is not the man upstairs. He's not the guy next door. If He's anything close to that, He's the friend who's right beside you. He's that friend who sticks closer than a brother. He's that one who, when you're going through the worst time of your life, He's carrying you through it. That's who He is. He's involved in your life. The Sadducees didn't believe that about God. They thought, well, He's just kind of up there and He's just watching what we're doing. God gets it personally involved in the affairs of mankind. Of your life, of the life of Bethany Baptist Church. Hey, He even gets involved with the Assemblies of God up the road, the Church of Christ down the road. He's involved with all of them. For the good or for the bad, whatever. He is engaged. You know, He's engaged with the nations of this world. He gets involved personally. When you read in the Scriptures, you know what you'll find? Wicked kings like Nebuchadnezzar have dreams and visions from Almighty God. He gets involved in the affairs of mankind. It wouldn't surprise me if Donald Trump has not had some dreams from God. I believe that. The Scripture says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It seems to me that the most powerful nation in the world, if God is not talking to him, then we got a problem. He shouldn't be there. That's what I think. And it wouldn't surprise me if God has not talked to him. I kind of think God might have talked to Barack Obama too. Now, whether they listen, you know, that's going to be up to them. He talked to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar said, no, no, no. I'm not going to listen to God's advice. And he had to pay for it. And the nation of Babylon paid for it. Our nation will pay for it too. If our leaders don't listen to God, you will pay for it in your life if you don't listen to God. You got to believe that the Scripture is right. that it's inerrant, that it's true, and that God gets personally involved in your life, and you can't approach the Scriptures with the carnal nature that you're used to living in this world. You've got to take that step back, and you've got to think, how would Jesus think about this? What is God really trying to say? Does my life mirror what God is presenting from the Scriptures? If it doesn't, then I'm wrong, He's right, and something needs to change. Well, God's not going to change. He's already told us that. He doesn't change. You are supposed to change. The Scripture tells us in Psalms 55:19, they fear not the Lord because they have no changes. It's important for you to have changes in your life. When your life does not mirror God's Word, it needs to change. Or you've got some problems. We're going to talk about some of those. The Sadducees had a lot of problems. For one, they didn't know who God was. Let me tell you something. God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. You think that the people who have died before you are gone forever? They're not gone. They have transitioned from this life into the next. You see, when God created you, He created you with a spirit that never dies. It's always going to be around. It's not going to be disintegrated. It's not going to be evaporated. You're not going to go sleep in the ground until the day of resurrection. Your spirit will return to Almighty God. God is the God of the living. Now, we're going to talk about what this means, what the living really means to God here in just a second. But you need to understand that death to us, if you talk to most people, they're going to say, well, death is when that person is not around anymore. But what death really is, or what we think, is that that soul is gone and we no longer see them. That we're never going to get that back. We mourn the loss. Some people mourn the loss so much that they become dysfunctional in this life. They just can't handle it. But that person's not dead in the sense that you think. In Ecclesiastes, I mentioned this verse a couple of weeks ago, I think. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, it says, then shall dust return to the earth as it was. You see this body? It's not really worth very much. You know, once it's gone, I think some scientists have taken a body and they've cremated it and they try to get as many minerals and things out of it as they can. And I think it comes down to, your body might be worth about $2.50 altogether. So you look to your friend next to you, your husband, your wife, and you're like, wow, I knew they weren't worth much, but now I know. I'm just joking. This body doesn't have much value once the soul is gone. The soul makes up the value of it. That's why when we like being around people, you know, they could be the best looking person in the world, but have the sorriest attitude. Man, you don't want to be around that person. But regardless of what they look like, if they've got a pleasant attitude, they're a positive person, man, you could be around them all day long. It's because their soul makes up the value of that person, not what you see in the flesh. Anything can happen to this body. But what is death to God? Death to God is the state of a person in which they are spiritually separated from their Creator. Now, I want you to chew on that just for a second. What does it mean to be spiritually separated from your Creator? Look with me in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 3. It says, and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Do you know what quickened means? That's an old King James word. It's a little bit archaic, but it means to be made alive. So I could read this and say, and you hath He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. wherein in the time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What is death to God? The state of a person in which they are spiritually separated from their Creator. Before you are born again, you are living in death. Spiritually separated from your Creator. Living according to what Ephesians chapter 2 calls here, and you walked according to the course of this world. You walked in the manner of which makes it easier for you to get by in this world. What does that mean? That means that you look, you want to make money. That means that you want to feel good about what it is that you're doing. You want a good job. Maybe you want to have a family. There's nothing wrong with some of these things. But if you're working towards those things, you've got a problem. That's the course of this world. And you need a change. A change has to be made inside of you. You need to be quickened. You need to be made alive. You need to be born again, according to John chapter 3. You see, that most of us, before we're born again, we're dead in trespasses and sins. You have a list that has been built up because you have not received forgiveness of your sins. Your sins are marking up. When you get to Romans chapter 2, he says that they're building up wrath unto themselves. That's what you also see here, that they are children of wrath in verse 3. They walk after the course of this world. They lived in lust and desires of the flesh and the mind. That right there defines people who are not born again. That's what they look like. They look like they're living for this world. They have a problem. They have not been quickened. They have not been made alive, according to Ephesians chapter 2. If y'all agree with that, say amen. Ephesians chapter 2 is helping us. Paul said, we were all once there. I was even once there, the Apostle Paul says. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. Something had to change. I had to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He had to create in me something brand new. The biggest problem with this state of being is if your body dies in this state, your soul will return to Almighty God and it will be judged according to its state here. If it is judged in that state, it will go to hell. Hell is not a good place. The Scripture says it's the place that the worm dies not. It's the bottomless pit. It's the place of eternal darkness. It's a place of torments and fire and brimstone. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. Revelation 21:8 says this, talking about this state. Because they died in this state, they are separated from their Creator. And then when they die in this state and they go to be judged, the Scripture talks about a second death. Something that will happen to that person if they die in this carnal state without being quickened by Almighty God. It says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Watch this. Which is what? The second death. That's death to God. He doesn't want that for any of you. He doesn't want it for anybody that's outside of the walls of this building. He doesn't want it for your neighbors. He doesn't want it even for our politicians. He doesn't want them to live in that state. He doesn't want them to go and be eternally separated and enter in to the second death. Once they go to the second death, there's no hope. There's no gospel in hell. It's eternal. It's not appointed unto you for wrath. That place is not even for you. It's for the devil and his angels. Yet because you reject Almighty God and you have served your father, the devil, you will go to where your father will end up. He's going to go there too. The Scripture tells us that he will be cast into the lake of fire one day. And I look forward to that day that he's cast there. But he's not there yet. And you're not there yet either, because you're still sucking air today. You have a chance to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today if you have not. Don't enter into that. Don't risk tomorrow. Make today the day that you say yes to Jesus Christ and yes to God's holy word and yes to what he has said and no to the ways of this world and its carnal nature. You have to make that choice. But let me refresh your memory. That is death to God. And there is no hope. Now, what is life to us? If we're going to be honest, life to us looks like Ephesians chapter 2, 2 through 3, doesn't it? Walking the course of this world, doing the things that please us. If it feels good, do it. If I want it, I should get it. That's the course of this world. Instant gratification. Things that edify myself and not edifying God. That's what life is to most people. Unless you've been born again, then your mind is different. You think different. Ecclesiastes 12:8, the preacher will write there, these things are vanity. All is vanity. If that's your thinking, Ephesians chapter 2, 2 through 3, your life is vanity. It's worthless. It's meaningless. People want to make a name for themselves. It doesn't matter how much of a name that you try to make for yourself, it will be forgotten. Do you understand that? It will go away eventually. Maybe it'll last for a little bit, but it won't be long, and no one will remember it. Why do we work so hard to build up a paradise here on this world when it's just going to fade away, even our name? But the name that will not fade away, that will last forever, that name is Jesus Christ. It's eternal. It's endless. It is from beginning to the end. Alpha and Omega, he will call himself. The beginning and the ending. My name isn't in the Bible, but Jesus Christ's name is. People don't cuss by my name, but they cuss by the name of Jesus Christ, don't they? Is there a reason for it? Yes. Because he is eternal. And he says, I want you to have life. I want you to be made a quickening spirit. I want you to understand things the way that I do. Those in Christ have everlasting life. John 3:16 tells us that, doesn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Not everlasting death. Everlasting life. The only way is to believe in Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross. Do you believe that? Have you made him Lord? Have you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believed in your heart that God has raised him from the dead according to Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10? If you do, the Scripture says, thou shalt be saved when you've really made him Lord of your life. That's what he wants from you. Those in Christ have everlasting life. You see, really what we see in this world is that when these bodies die, the soul is separated, but one day it's going to get a body again. That's what Jesus called the resurrection. When he gives you a body that's actually worth more than $2.50, wouldn't that be nice? You know, the older you get, you know, I don't know. I'd like to ask Ms. Zifa, I'm like, would you give $2.50 for what you got going on right now? She's in the hospital again. She probably wouldn't give $2.50 for that. She's like, no, I want something better. If you're going to give me a choice, I want a body that won't hurt anymore. I want a body that the knees won't wear out. I want a body that doesn't have to suffer pain. I want a body that won't feel the loss of loved ones gone on before me. That's what she would say. I would say the same thing. That this body's really not worth as much as I think it is. That's called the resurrection. It's almost like a metamorphosis. Y'all know, y'all remember that from your biology classes? When a caterpillar is going along and then it goes into this cocoon state and out pops this butterfly. You know, I don't know if y'all been by my house. It looks a little crazy because I planted flowers all around my garden. There's hundreds of flowers around my garden, and I'll go out there during the day and I'll just watch the butterflies and the bees and this weird looking thing. It flies like a hummingbird, looks like a bee, but drinks like a butterfly. I have no idea what that thing is. But there's a couple of them, and I'm like, man, that is so intriguing, and I can just watch them. I know I'm a nerd. I'm lame. But I know that one day, just like that butterfly was once a caterpillar, I'm going to get a much better body. That's not going to have to crawl around on the ground. That's not just going to have to eat nasty green plants that are dirty, but I'll be able to fly from one pretty thing to the next and enjoy that so much more. Hey, the resurrected body you're going to get is so much better. And Jesus says, that's coming. The Sadducees don't believe in it, but it is waiting for you. It hasn't happened yet. We have evidence in the Scripture of guys who are still alive, yet their bodies have deceased. I'll give you a story of one. His name is Samuel. Kind of an intriguing story. You know, the King Saul is there, and he's just done just about everything to make God mad at him. I don't know if y'all know this story, but King Saul has made God mad at him. God doesn't even want to talk to him, and he's like, man, God has left me. He's not sending prophets to me anymore. So he finds this soothsayer, somebody who dabbles in the occult and demons. He tried to get rid of them all, but one stayed under the radar, and he finds her, and he goes and talks to her, and he says, hey, I want you to summon Samuel for me. And she begins, and all of a sudden Samuel shows up. She's scared to death. You know why? She's never seen a live person before. She's just used to seeing copycat demons. Yeah, that's a real thing. Demons have been around a long time too. They know all kinds of stuff about you. But she was surprised when Samuel shows up. And Samuel says to Saul, why have you brought me from my rest? And Saul begins to whine and complain. It's because God doesn't talk to me anymore. And Samuel basically says, I don't want to talk to you either. In fact, you've made God so mad, you're going to be with me by this time tomorrow. Now, that didn't really set well with Saul. But it makes the point. God is the God of the living. I'll give you another story on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah show up to talk to Jesus. Those guys weren't asleep in the soil waiting for Jesus to come back. They appeared on Mount of Transfiguration. They're alive. They're alive today. Have they got their resurrected bodies? Not yet. Not yet. We're all going to get those at about the same time. But they're still alive. God is a God of the living. When you die, your soul will go to be with God. But one day, you will get something better. Jesus would say it like this. He says, unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground, it will not produce fruit. He would say, isn't what goes into the ground so much better than what comes up? Or than what went in? What comes out of it is so much better than what went in. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but you take a piece of corn. You ever seen that thing? It's dried up, wrinkly. You're like, man, I don't know if this is going to make anything. It's dead. It looks dead, dried up, nothing, no life in it. But you stick it in the ground, and you know what you'll find? About 2 weeks later, it will begin to sprout. And it'll turn into something so much grander. You ever driven by these fields? And you look out there, You don't think about, man, that farmer, he put a bunch of wrinkly, dried up, hard things into the ground. That's not what you think about. You're like, wow, that's just an amazing seeing the waves of grain. You know, we have a song about the waves of grain. And it's just a beautiful sight, seeing the wind moving them around. Your body is a seed to something so much better. And we get so wrapped up into this world that we forget that there's something better awaiting for us. We're like the Sadducees, and we're wondering, who am I going to marry in the afterlife? That's not even a part of the equation. I'll tell you who you're going to get in the afterlife. You're going to get Jesus Christ. You're going to get God Almighty. This body that you have that begins to wrinkle and to dry up and to age, and you think it's not worth anything, one day they're going to plant it in the ground. And if you're born again, you know what you're going to find out? That what comes out of the ground next is so much better than what they put in that day. I know probably you're not excited about thinking about death right now, but you don't have to be afraid if you're in Christ. You've got so much more to look forward to. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He says, I want them to understand that there's life so much better. You see, one day, you're going to experience the resurrection. One day, you're going to see Christ face to face. You're going to be able to look upon the Godhead and understand it, whereas now we're in confusion. But one day you'll get it. You'll, on the resurrection, look with me in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. You see, one of the things about the resurrection, yeah, at the resurrection you get a new body. But today, you should be living with a resurrected mind and a resurrected heart. So that whenever you said yes to Jesus and you were baptized, the Apostle Paul would say, yeah, you are burying the things of this world, the things that are holding you back, and you're raised to walk in the newness of life. So as today, you don't have to wait to walk in the power of the resurrection. You could do that now. See, so many people, they think, oh, I've got to wait until that day to be able to serve the Lord. Today is the day of salvation, the Scripture says. Today is the day that you should be walking in the newness of that resurrected life. That because you were dead in the trespasses of your sins, yet whenever Christ comes in, He resurrects that dead soul and He makes you alive to live for Him. And He says, walk in the newness of life. You don't have to serve sin. You don't have to serve the devil. You can be made clean from all your sins. You can be made whole. You can live in the likeness of Christ's resurrection. Look in verse 5. It says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Basically what He's saying is that today you can walk just like that. If you really would say, you know what, today I am burying that carnal creature that Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 say about me. I don't have to live like that. I can live better. I can live according to the resurrection. The power of it. Remember in Philippians, what will that verse say? That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. How many times do you pray that? I pray that all the time. I'm like, Lord, I want to know the power of Your resurrection. I want to do what Romans 6 and verse 5 says. For if we have planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, that I crucify this old man, this old sinful person that I am, this deceitful mind, this hard heart, and I accept the new one. And I live according to the new one. You can do that because of the power that Christ offered in the resurrection. You see, it's not just a body that's resurrected. Does that make sense? Yeah, one day you're going to get a new body. But right now, your soul, if you've been born again, you should have a resurrected soul, a mind, and a heart where you desire Christ stuff in your life. Freed from the power and the penalty of sin. Look at verse 7 here. It says, "For he that is dead is free from sin." So many people forget. You're free from sin. They think, "I'm still under bondage." You're only in bondage because you have not given up to Jesus. You are holding back. You're maintaining your will. You have not made Jesus really Lord of your life. You're holding on. You're like, "God, Jesus, you can have this, but I've got this." And Jesus says, "No, I want it all." Because that's what a Lord does. The Lord is who you owe everything to. We were talking about this in Sunday school this morning, that, or at least in our class, that when you really make Jesus Lord of your life, you're accepting the truth, right? Jesus is the truth. What does the Scripture say about the truth when you would accept the truth? It said, the truth will make you free. You think you're free today? If you have not been born again, you're not free. You're still under bondage. You're a slave to sin. You can't help yourself but live just like Ephesians chapter 2, 2 and 3 says. You can't help yourself. In your mind, you can say, "Oh, I know that doing that is wrong." But in your heart, you still do it anyway because you can't help yourself. You ever wonder why the drug addicts do what they do? It's because their mind knows it's wrong, but their hearts desire it so much and they can't get out of it. They're bound in addiction. Sin is addiction in a person's life. You can't help yourself. That's why sinners sin. Because they're wound up in the addiction of their life. They're living according to the course of this world. They can't break free from it. But Jesus Christ can make you free. And if He makes you free, you will be free indeed. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you understand the resurrection? Or are you looking at it just like the Sadducees? One final verse in verse 13 of chapter 6 in Romans. "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." You know how you know? If you've been a part of God making you alive, of Jesus making you alive again, of that quickening spirit, you yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Are you alive from the dead? If you're alive from the dead, look what it says you do. "And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Are your members, are these things instruments of righteousness? Or are they instruments of sinfulness? That's how you know. You ever wonder if you're saved? You ever wonder if you're born again? There's you a clue right there. Romans chapter 6 gives you a lot of those. That's how you know. I want to ask you something today. Have you been quickened by Jesus Christ? Have you been made alive by Jesus Christ? Or are you still dead in your trespasses and sins? If you're still dead, and you die in that state, God will judge you and send you to hell. If you have been made alive, you will be judged and you will see God face to face and you will have a home in heaven and you will get a resurrected body, something so much better. Where are you at today? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that if you die today, you would go to heaven? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt today that your spirit has been quickened by Jesus Christ, God Almighty? Do you know that without a shadow of a doubt? The Scripture tells us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, these things write we unto you that you may know that you have everlasting life. Hey, if you don't know, come talk to me. I can show you from the Scripture how you can know that you're saved. But if you have doubts, man, let's nail it down. Let's make sure that you leave right and that you don't have to worry about sin. You don't have to worry about where your soul is going to go. What you'll worry about is the guy next to me? Is the lady next to me? Are they going to be with me in eternity? And you will become an instrument of righteousness. As the song leader and the pianist and organist come, would y'all pray with me? Dear Lord, I just ask for your grace and for your strength. Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit to touch your people this morning. If there's somebody here who has not been made alive, who has not been quickened by your power, that today will be the day that they will accept you as Lord and Savior over their life. Lord, I ask for you to just minister to them and draw them to yourself. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.